Welcome to Healthcare Du Jour, where we dish up and digest the latest in healthcare. For the next 30 minutes, sit back as we bring you insight, commentary, and discussion on trending topics to the table, all expertly served up by our host and his guests. Healthcare Du Jour is brought to you by High Tech Answers and Healthcare Now Radio, part of the Answers Media Network, and is sponsored by the Law Offices of Myrick O'Connell. Now here is your host, Matt Fisher.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining as we dive into the hottest topics in healthcare. I'm your host, Matt Fisher. On the menu today is Justin Everett, Vice President of Marketing at SolutionReach. Welcome, Justin.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
It's great to have you here today. So, but before we really dive into everything, could you just give everyone a little bit of an introduction of to who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure, happy to. So, again, I'm Justin Everett. I'm Vice President of Marketing at SolutionReach, and if you're unfamiliar with SolutionReach, we've been a leader in patient relationship management since the early 2000s. Our platform helps practices improve the patient-provider relationship with tools for all kinds of touch points. That's managing appointment reminders, scheduling recare, recall appointments, patient education, monitoring patient satisfaction. But aside from just those touch points, we also help practices grow with tools for marketing and online reputation.
Yeah, and actually, kind of that last point that you just said, the online reputation is, you know, I think, the key focus for us today. I think a lot of people have probably heard stories about reviews of physicians on various websites and would like to be able to dive into that. So kind of when you're thinking about reputation management and online reviews, what does that mean from your perspective?
So we kind of think there's a bunch of areas to this, but one thing that I think is really important to get across when we're talking about online reviews is you've got two ways you can approach this. You can as a provider, you can just sort of sit back and let reviews happen organically and stay, you know, pretty removed from that. But that's really, in my opinion, that's really a gamble, because you might get some reviews or you might not, and you may get more negative reviews than you want. Really, only a third of patients say they're likely to leave a review without being provoked or asked to do that. But if you'll be more upfront with it and more proactive in driving reviews and try to engage more, you can get more happy patients to do it. And many more patients say they'd leave a review if asked. But a couple of pieces, you know, challenges that we run into here is two things. One, practices often they're not sure how to ask patients to leave reviews. And the second one is that they're sometimes nervous about asking for them. And not nervous in the sense that, you know, I'm nervous to talk to my patient, but nervous in the sense that, well, you know, what if a negative review comes in? That's a worry that we hear a lot of times. But in my opinion, is, you know, the stance there is generating as many positive reviews as possible. That's the best way to deal with the chance that all chance that you might get the occasional negative review. And SolutionReach, we provide a couple of different ways for providers to ask for those reviews, including via text message, which we really think is the hot trend right now.
Yeah, so kind of I think you just kind of condense a lot of information pretty quickly in there. So I kind of want to break it apart a little bit. And the first piece I want to kind of pick up is the suggestion that you said that proactively asking for patients to do a review can make a big impact. So I think my first question off of that would be, if you're not asking people or patients to leave a review, would that be expected to, you know, for when a review is posted to more typically result in a negative review as opposed to a positive review?
I don't know that it would necessarily result in a more negative review. I think maybe it could, just by not taking advantage of all the opportunities for positive reviews, if that makes sense. So if you'll, you know, go out and find those happy patients and be more active and engaged and ask for those, I think just by nature you're going to have a higher percentage of those be positive reviews when you're seeing those opportunities and then taking advantage of those on the spot.
Right. It seems kind of maybe to tap into the fact that the only news that seems to get reported is the bad news, and the good news gets left to the side because everyone wants to focus on those bad events.
That's right, but you know, for every bad event, how many positive events and how many great experiences are happening and taking place out there, and being able to capture and encourage patients to express those is super important.
No, I think that, and that I think is a great point. It's, as you said, the positive, well, is hopefully vastly outweighing the negative, and you know, I think as you're suggesting, the key is to just encourage those positive ones to take that next step of sharing that positive experience.
Yep, absolutely.
So, in terms of getting that positive experience to be put out there, what do you see as some of the most effective means of getting patients to be willing to put up a review and kind of suggestions in terms of how to go about doing it?
Well, so, you know, it sounds simple, and I've already alluded to it a little bit, but it's really a matter of being willing to ask for that review. And but to do that, you know, you got to kind of know, well, when do I ask and who asks, and you got to have a strategy. And I think in the past it was always suggested that, you know, practices could just kind of blanket all of their patients equally, like through maybe a follow-up survey or something like that. That was a good way to just make it easy and be able to cover a lot of ground in short time. But we're a lot more sophisticated now, and you can actually give your staff the ability to ask specific patients right then and there at the time of their visit or right after. And it's really as simple as sending a patient a quick text that they can see right there, you know, while they're still in the office, and they can just click the link in the text. They can go out and leave their review. And so that makes it really easy for the staff, but that also makes it super easy for the patient too, because, you know, you're right. It's right then and there. Everything about that experience and the visit is top of mind. And if you do it before, like if you were to ask me for my review as a patient, and I leave the office and I'm maybe checking in on work stuff, or I'm, you know, at home and working with family, I'm a lot less likely to go and take action, leave that review, the further removed I am from that visit. So the ability for me to just receive a text before I even leave is super convenient, and it drives great results in terms of getting patients to respond and interact.
No, I think, as you said, trying to ask people immediately after a visit occurs, or even kind of sounds like as maybe the visit is ending, you know, I think you're saying as they're walking out the door, definitely is tapping, as you said, a fresh memory, which definitely makes sense, since it's, I would say, maybe viewed as a continuation of the visit as opposed to a distinct activity.
Exactly right. It's kind of that idea of striking while the iron is hot, right?
Yeah, and when you were saying about trying to figure out who does the ask, who is the most appropriate person? Is it the physician, or is it maybe the front office staff or somebody else?
That can really depend, but in a lot of cases, the staff members having just as much interaction as the provider themselves. So that's really something that the practice can, you know, determine on their own terms. But what you want to do is just make it as easy as possible for anybody to be able to do that within the practice. Whether you decide, okay, well, maybe the staff had, you know, greater touch with this patient this time, or maybe the provider did, or maybe the staff, you know, maybe has a little more time to do this. That certainly can be taken into consideration too. So I wouldn't say that's a one size fits all kind of approach you would take there. It's really dependent on, you know, how the practice prefers to handle that.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. As we all know, there's very few things in life that are one size fit all.
That's right. Absolutely.
You know, I think the other piece of it you've been talking about is, or actually, maybe before I get into the reputation management side, when individuals are being asked to post the review, are the people making that ask giving any guidelines or any kind of tips in terms of what they would be looking for in a review?
Not necessarily. I think it's actually good to leave it open-ended because in terms of the ask, because when you do that, you can uncover a lot of really cool learnings for your practice. So, you know, one of the things that, and we think about, well, how can, so it's great to get reviews, and that's huge from a marketing standpoint, but also you can really learn a lot from just the free-form content you get back there. So it's really important for the practice to read through and respond to those reviews. It's It's not enough to just simply have the review. So about 60% of patients say it's important to know that a provider responds to an online review, because you think about, you get it out there, and that's sort of a conversation and a back and forth that's out in public, and there's potential patients that are out there reading and about other people's experiences, and they want to be able to see that practice cares and they're doing their best to improve. But also, you can use some of those learnings and bring those back internally and say, okay, well, hey, maybe there's a patient right here that we need to reach out to over the phone and kind of talk them through their experience, or maybe there's something that we need to clarify about their experience. So I think when you leave it open-ended and give patients the opportunity to take it whatever the direction they want, you can uncover some really good opportunities for improvements within your practice, and it's sort of a second benefit beyond just getting the review itself.
Yeah, no, I definitely see the wisdom in that, of trying to make the review as organic as possible. I'd have to imagine that if there's any type of coaching going on, that would be fairly easy to be able to see through.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when you see that, a lot of times in reviews you're going to see, it's really not about the care that the provider delivered there. It's really patients wanting just to talk about their experience with the practice overall. So, talking about how they were treated, the friendliness of the staff, how long they waited, how easy it was to communicate with the office. And at Solution Reach, we released a study in June where we surveyed 2,000 patients across four different specialties, and just asking them about how many have recently switched healthcare providers in the last 2 or 3 years, how many are planning to switch providers. And then once we got a feel for that, the question was then, well, why? You know, what aspect of that patient's relationship with their provider, in the case of the ones who are going to be switching, what is it that's driving them to other providers? And the greatest area of dissatisfaction that we found in that study was, it had nothing to do with care. It was all about practice logistics. So less than half, like 42% said, only 42% said it's easy to get an appointment. Only 45% said their practice does a good job of communicating with them. So that's the kind of stuff that can be really valuable learnings for the practice, and it's also the kind of stuff that comes up in reviews. So it's interesting. Those are the things that are causing patients to want to leave and, you know, seek greener pastures, and it's the same stuff that shows up in reviews, which is really interesting.
Right. For those of you who are just joining us, I'm talking to Justin Everett from Solution Reach, referring to the survey that you did. I think you were saying the results showed that it was more of the administrative kind of logistical things that people were finding a lot of issues with. So
that's right.
What are the best ways that the practices can actually be able to take those types of comments and learn from them?
So again, it's grabbing those reviews and, you know, so on one side, making sure you're responding to the review and acknowledging that comment to strengthen the relationship with that one individual patient. But then it's bringing, you can come up with cool ways to aggregate some of that information, bring it back, share that with the staff, and use that for coaching. And it's not, you know, it's important to point out, it's not just negative comments that you could come back and share with your staff, but also, if you're, you know, looking to motivate your staff, if you're looking for opportunities to highlight success stories with the staff, this stuff is perfect for that. You're going to get lots of positive comments, and it's a great way to reinforce positive behavior and serve as a motivator just internally within the team.
Yeah, no, actually, that is a pretty helpful point, because I think people tend to focus on the negative ones without thinking to bring the positive ones to attention, too, to be able to recognize where people have been, you know, frankly, knocking it out of the park, or, you know, doing something that is helping to build that positive image of the practice.
Absolutely.
But kind of going back to one of the other points you're making, which clearly is, you know, part of why you'd want the review, is so you can respond to it. What's your advice to people when you're talking with them about how to respond to a review?
So how to respond to a review. So I think, you know, there are kind of some pitfalls here, some things that you can't do and some things that you really just kind of shouldn't do that aren't best practices. But I think one of the worst things you can do with an online review is to be defensive, and that's hard to do. You know, we're proud of the work we do, and it can be hard not to take a negative review personally. But when you get one, you don't want to respond with a quick, heated, or a defensive reply. I think the best approach there is just to take a step back, give yourself a little bit of time to think through the criticism, and then go back and respond to the patient. But when you do that, you want to remember, you know, this review is reflecting the one-on-one interaction that you have with that patient, but you want to remember that there are also potential patients out there seeing these reviews that are watching. So there's a greater audience than you sometimes think. But I think another thing you want to do there is make sure not to get too deep into the issue there. It's really about acknowledging the review and then maybe find a way to move that conversation, you know, offline, for lack of a better term, offer to call the patient and talk through any issues and show that you're responsive, but maybe not share the full story right there within the context of the review. Then also, sometimes healthcare practices have a hard time with online reviews because they have to be careful about HIPAA regulations. So where that comes into play is you got to be careful not to discuss the specifics of a visit or even really confirm if the person who wrote the review is a patient or not. So before you respond to any review, you just want to keep in mind not to disclose any PHI or any confidential information like that.
Yeah, no, and I definitely agree. You know, it's that is the area where I think there is the biggest opportunity to trip yourself up, because as you were saying, you see something, you're like, that's not true, and you want to be able to dispel what you view as the
right.
Horrible rumor, and in doing so, you've created a much bigger problem.
Yep, absolutely.
So, as we've been talking about all these online reviews, I think I actually missed an initial question I should have asked, which is, where are reviews being posted most frequently?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, Yelp, HealthGrades, Google, those are all great places to get reviews, and those are what we tend to think of first. But social media sites, too, are sometimes overlooked by practices as a great spot for reviews and super valuable. So more than half of the results you get when you search for a physician are social media pages. So you want to be sure to encourage patients to leave reviews there, because that can be really beneficial. And specific to Solution Reach, our SR Smart Reviews solution gives patients three options where we think they're the most common places that patients would leave reviews anyway, which is Yelp, Google, and Facebook.
So when you're talking about those different sites, do you suggest that the practices, you know, claim their page within those different platforms?
Oh, absolutely.
And could you kind of describe what that process is? So I have a feeling, you know, probably for the most of us who are out there, you know, we'll go onto Yelp or someplace, and every once in a while it'll say, if you're this business owner, claim it, because you're going to look up for a review or something, but I'm not sure the mechanics are well known.
Yeah, so and really the mechanics depend on the platform. So Yelp has their own process for that, and Google has their own process for that. But it's pretty easy to do. It's just a matter of digging in, and it's pretty easy to get those patients claimed.
And by claiming it, you're just basically having to verify that you're the actual business.
That's right.
Owner.
You're confirming that yes, this is my practice, and I'm the owner of this, and it just adds a lot of credibility and weight to what's being left there.
So, and then thinking about, you know, obviously those sites are well-known platforms that are controlled by very large companies. Say you come across a review that is just downright wrong. Is there anything that you can do to try and address that with the host of the review site?
You can do that, and again, they each have their own processes for doing that. But again, I think one of the best ways to combat that too is to make sure you're actively engaged with the patients who are most likely to leave you that positive review, and just kind of tip the scales in your favor in terms of driving positive reviews and keeping that star rating high and making sure that if you're as proactive as you should be on driving reviews on the front end, you can stay in front of that. So one thing that's unique to SolutionReach and our SR Smart Reviews solution is we'll actually, before sending a review or when the patient does the review, they'll actually be asked to leave an NPS score for the practice. And if that score is a 7 or higher, then they'll continue to leave their review and that review will be posted out. If that score is below that, SolutionReach sort of captures that review for the practice, and it doesn't continue out to post that out to Yelp and Google and Facebook, but it will capture that for the practice. It'll still allow the patient to leave their feedback and leave the review, and you know if it when it's a lower score, if they have frustration, they can get that off their chest. But the practice can still take that review and take that feedback from the patient and address it internally and figure out, okay, you know, what do we do now to reach out to this patient? How do we make it right? How do we build and restore our relationship with that patient? And you get to do it without having to do it out in public and out in front of potential patients.
So do you have any examples of people who've done a particularly good job in terms of addressing a not-so-great review?
No particular examples to share, but again, it's a case of grabbing that feedback because the reasons for a negative review are all patient-driven, right? And given that it's an open sort of forum, the reasons can be all over the map. So it's really more about general best practices. When that review comes in, maybe you have a staff member reach out to that patient. Sometimes you need more clarification, you know, if a patient is upset about something. That's a great opportunity to just call and figure out, hey, what's going on here and how can we make it right? But, you know, the best practice is to make sure you touch that quickly and address it. And in some cases, that could turn out to be a positive review in the future.
Right. And it seems like, you know, as you're describing how to respond to it, one of the keys really is, you know, take it seriously and proactively reach out quickly. Don't sit on it and don't ignore it.
That's right, because you know, it's not you know limited to healthcare. This is any kind of service oriented relationship. Sense of urgency can go such a long way. Even if there's frustration, just the fact that you cared and the fact that you were quick to respond can really take you a long way in terms of the eyes of that patient or even a consumer in a larger context. But that speed to response is huge. So definitely recommend jumping on that and being responsive as quickly as possible.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. It's you know, it's great to see the positive ones, but the negative ones, as you said, are an opportunity to change the individual's perception if you engage with them. But it's also, and you've been saying this too, a great learning opportunity because you're going to be able to maybe see something from a different light and be able to find a deficiency that you hadn't been aware of.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, we talked earlier about using the negative responses as coaching tools for your team. But wow, what a great story that would be if you were to take a negative review, continue to work with that patient and, you know, sort of flip that into a positive review. What a fun motivator that would be for the team to show that, hey, you know, you guys, we do our job, we reach out, we care about our patients, we're responsive, and we really engage and work on that relationship, and we can turn it around. That's a fantastic story to be able to tell just internally.
Yeah, and it seems like it's also, it creates a self-reinforcing cycle of, you know, if you can see if you're able to see and then realize upon that opportunity, it's going to make you want to pursue them more in the future. So it's, you're just going to make you focus on the whole process in a more positive manner.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see, you get the dual benefit there. It's not, so with this reputation management and getting reviews, it's not just the marketing component. It's also the ability to, for, you know, internally to have self-improvement.
Yes, no, and I think that, you know, as you just phrased it, is a perfect way, I think, for practices to be able to be thinking about it, which is, to some degree, the marketing is secondary. Because if you're able to improve your practice, that good marketing is just going to flow out of it because your reputation will continue to grow and expand in a good direction.
That's right. And then the marketing benefit sort of happens organically because you're earning the positive comments that are coming in from your patients for sure.
So, and actually thinking about that, as you just said, earning the positive comments, do you see that once you start encouraging a certain threshold of, certain threshold of reviews, that all of a sudden it starts to become, self-driven by patients because others will see reviews out there and then they'll start posting without any type of encouragement?
That certainly makes sense, and I don't know if we've seen that, but what you do see is when it starts to happen, I think you see staff become more comfortable with making that ask from the get-go and being more confident and saying, okay, well, I can ask this patient to review me because, people are doing it, and I'm seeing it, and it works, and in a lot of cases, it reflects positively on me. So I can't speak to that from the patient point of view, but I think from the staff's end, there is a momentum factor that comes into play when they see that it's working and they see that patients are willing to share a positive experience. All you have to do is ask them.
Yes, no, it's I agree. It's probably difficult at this point to be able to figure it out from the patient perspective because it still feels like it's, in terms of online reviews, when it comes to physicians and medical practices, we're still very much in the infancy as compared to probably the general consumer environment.
They are, but they're super important because 77% of patients are this online reviews are where they're going. That's their first step when they're looking for a provider. And I read a study the other day, and it was like 9 out of 10 patients say that they trust that online review more than even like a personal recommendation from a friend or a family member. So it's not only are they out there when they're searching for providers, not only are they out there reading the reviews, but they're actually it's not just like nice to know. It's not just helpful information for a patient. They're actually taking action on what they read just solely around online reviews.
Yeah, no, and that is a fantastic point, and unfortunately a great one to end on because, believe it or not, we're already out of time.
Oh, wow.
So, Justin, thank you for a great and very fast-paced conversation today.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. Thanks for the opportunity to be here.
And thank you to everyone for listening. Keep the dialogue going and connect with me at hashtag HCDEJURE. I'm Matt Fisher. Until next time.